Welcome. You're listening to the Mac Observer's Background Mode, a very special edition. This is your host, John Marcellaro, and this week my guest is former Apple executive, Michael Gartenberg. Michael, welcome.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me back. Always a lot of fun.
Hey, in this special edition, what we're going to do is talk about what we think Apple will probably ship in 2018, and if we have time at the end, crossing my fingers, might get a word in or two about what we'd like to see Apple ship, our own fantasies. So let's start.
All right, take it away.
Well, the first thing to talk about, of course, is the HomePod, which is what we know. One of the things we know that Apple's going to ship in 2018. The question is, why was it late? Is it still competitive? And what changes did Apple make? And why?
Well, those are all good questions. In terms of HomePod, I've been hearing a couple of different things. One is that the audio stuff wasn't quite up to Apple standard, but the other was that Siri just wasn't, you know, competitive relative to you know, Amazon's Alexa and Google Home, and that they kind of needed to kick it up a couple of notches. And it turns out that a lot of people aren't interested in another home audio speaker. They've already got a good speaker. The best speakers in the home are connected to the TV for the most part. And, you know, things like, you know, Amazon's Alexa or Echo or Home are really focused more on, you know, what they can do, turn on the lights, turn off the lights.
Can Apple catch up with that?
Being a little more sophisticated. Sure. I mean, there's a lot of smart people there, although, you know, it's interesting that a lot of the original Siri team is no longer with Apple.
Oh, really? Tell me about that.
Yeah, a lot of those folks went over, I believe, to Samsung and are, you know, building the next generation there.
But were they lured or were they just unhappy with the state of Apple?
Can't say. I mean, okay. You know, people like that are always looking for the next big challenge. But Apple has got a lot of smart people next. And, you know, I think the idea of delaying HomePod was smart. You know, this is Apple. You never see Apple ship a product that isn't up to its internal standards. And clearly this one was not up to its internal standards. I think to some extent there was a marketing play here. Let's, you know, announce HomePods coming in, you know, December. But, you know, so don't buy an Amazon product, don't buy a Google product, stay in the Apple ecosystem. But they just couldn't ship. They couldn't even
Reminds
make
a... Reminds me of the IBM FUD against DEC. It's coming. It's coming. Don't buy any peripherals from DEC because our super drive is coming.
Absolutely. And to all of our listeners who don't get that reference, ask your parents.
All right. So the next item I want to talk about is the MacBook Pros. One of the biggest complaints about the MacBook Pro with Skylake and then Kaby Lake was the low power system couldn't accommodate 32 gigabytes of RAM, but technical professionals seem to have settled on the idea that, boy, we really want 32 gigabytes of RAM in our MacBook Pros. Coffee Lake offers that possibility. What do you think?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm still not entirely sure whether we call them MacBook Pros or MacBooks Pro. I know Phil Schiller has said we should just call them MacBook devices, but okay.
As in attorneys general.
Exactly. Or courts martial. Yeah, I think that there's going to have to be a rev. I mean, if you're going to call this a pro device and for professional users, you're going to have to give them what they want. And right now, a lot of professional users are not happy with their choices. So there are opportunities. I think we'll see a refresh. I think we'll see a refresh pretty soon because it's just something Apple needs to do just, you know, to stay competitive, if not competitive, to keep their customers.
Apple was very aggressive at WWDC in the summer of 2017. They announced the Kaby Lake MacBook Pros to replace the Skylakes, which came out in very late 2016. It was far less than a year. So hopefully at this point, 1 year later, maybe at WWDC this year, we'll see new MacBook Pros with Coffee Lake and 32 gig of RAM. Do you think Face ID?
Well, I think we might see the MacBooks Pro before WWDC. And yeah, I mean, you know, there's all sorts of these type of technologies that Apple can include. The question is, there's always a checklist. What do we do? What's at the top of the list? What's at the bottom of the list? Do we push it off? Do we bring it on? Certainly, you know, Face ID has become the new standard for Apple. Wouldn't shock me if we saw it in, you know, new Macs. But again, it's the question of what's ready. And at a certain point, that's a minor issue relative to other things that Apple wants to focus on, because they've got to get people interested in, you know, the MacBook Pro line. The worst thing for Apple is for customers to be satisfied. I'm happy with what I have. I have no need to upgrade.
One of the complaints about the MacBook Pro line is that the 13-inch is limited to dual core. You have to go to the 15-inch to get the quad core, probably because of heat management. But the Coffee Lake offers the opportunity at 10 nanometer process to perhaps introduce a quad core in the 13-inch. What do you think? I think that'd be stupendous.
Yeah, there's no doubt it's going to happen. It's just a question of when and if. And remember, Apple has a lot to do with these processors with Intel. These are not just Intel-designed processors. Apple engineers are working on these things to optimize. So the question is, at what point? Certainly, the last generation of processors was way behind. I think Apple understands that. And they're doing everything they can. My guess would be to get Coffee Lake into those Pros as quickly as possible. And remember, this is an Apple that ships when it's ready. You know, when Apple pulled out of Macworld, it was kind of important because it meant that there was no pressure on them to do something in January. There was this always pressure of got to announce something in January. And at that point, Apple said, we'll keep our own counsel. We'll announce things when they're ready. And, you know, whenever people try and do pattern recognition about Apple announcements, I kind of always laugh because the pattern holds true right up until it doesn't. And Apple decides to do a spring event or a summer event or a summer event and a spring event and a fall event. So I would say the only thing we can be fairly sure of, and again, I'm going out on a limb here, is that there will be some sort of iPhone announcement in the fall, but everything else is up for grabs. It'll go when it's ready. And I don't think Apple wants to wait too long, you know, about HomePod. I don't think they want to wait too long about, you know, Coffee Lake. And of course, you know, there's other opportunities for revving other products in the lineup, like, you know, the iPad, for example.
We'll get to that in a minute. But one of the things I don't want to miss is my suspicion, and strong suspicion, perhaps a prediction combined with fantasy. But I think Apple's going to produce a revamped Mac Mini, and the reason for that is because the Mac Pro is going to be a headless Mac, and it's going to be very expensive. As we've talked before, maybe more expensive than the iMac Pro. And so what Apple needs is a revamped Mac Mini that's expandable and is high performance and headless and can replace perhaps the 2013 Mac Pro for a lot of people, maybe $1,500. That's my prediction. Something like the Hewlett-Packard Z2 Mini, something super cool looking, really expandable, really powerful. Hook it up to the display of your choice, or maybe hook it up to Apple's new display, which we'll talk about if we have time. So what do you think?
Does Apple still sell a Mac Mini?
You know, I was in an Apple store recently, and in the one store I was in, it was rather one of the smaller stores, and they didn't have a Mac Mini on display anymore. They said, we've got them in the back if you want one.
If you know what it
but
is,
the big have stores have them still on display. I talked to an Apple sales rep about that one time, and he said, you know, people don't get uptight about it. If they need a Mac Mini, even though it was released in fall of 2015, if they need a Mac Mini, they come in and say, that's what I want, put it in the box, charge me, and they walk out of the store and they connect it, and they're happy as a duck in water.
Right. But, you know, they're not shipping the dual one with the, you know, that could have served as a server anymore. And, you know, the Mac Mini essentially was intended to go with that whole, you know, Mac versus PC. you know what? You already have a monitor. You already have a keyboard.
Yeah,
you
but with the Mac Pro not being affordable anymore for mere mortals, don't they really need a headless substitute for people who need to upgrade but can't afford a $10,000 Mac Pro?
I would think so, but you know, remember Apple has said that there's going to be a new Mac Pro coming, a modular Mac Pro coming, and you know, they're targeting that particular audience. We'll see what that looks like. Clearly, that's a product that's long overdue. You have the iMac Pro, and I know there are a lot of Apple Mini aficionados who used it for all sorts of things, and I would hope Apple doesn't abandon that line, but the reason for doing that product in the first place doesn't exist anymore. It's not Mac versus PC. It's not, you know, tying your monitor and your keyboard, just buy this little thing and now you have a Mac. So I think it'll be around and, you know, it'll be in the back of those Apple stores. So if you know that you want one, you'll get one. But you're going to have to ask for one. You're not going to see them on display. So, not expecting a major upgrade, maybe a minor processor upgrade just to keep it current.
I think there's a real opportunity here. Because when I reviewed the Hewlett Packard Z2 Mini, people drooled, and I had readers say, "Can I put Mac OS on that? That would be so cool," because they love the hardware.
No, the Z2 Mini is a great product, and you know, it's almost surprising that it came from HP, not Apple. But we'll have to see. The fact that they already knocked out, you know, the one that could also have doubled as your home server, we're back to just sort of the basic. It seems like the Mac Mini team isn't exactly on the top of Tim Cook's list of priorities, but it would be nice to see one. I hope we'll see one, because I think there's a great product opportunity for a lot of people as a second or even third computer. But right now, I would be hard-pressed to tell anyone to buy one. I mean, technology is beyond outdated.
Yeah. So let's move on and talk about the iPhone 11. That's a long ways away. We're still in a stupor of love for the iPhone 10. But one of the questions I have on my mind is whether there will be an iPhone 11 and an iPhone 8 type counterpart as a Touch ID hedge, or whether the current combination of the 10 and the 8s was just sort of Apple hedging its bets, and we're just going to forge on with Face ID and then leave these Touch ID phones behind. What do you think?
Well, there's certainly a lot of room between 8 and 10 for 9. So, yeah, I would expect a 9 in similar form factors, Touch ID, next generation processor, some other, you know, good funky stuff.
How do you explain to people that the iPhone 9 of 2018 is not as capable or not as new as the iPhone 10 from 2017? How do you do that?
Well, it'll be cheaper. You know, the iPhone 10's pricing is going to pretty much stay where it is. And so you have room for basically a 9, you know, to replace the 8. You do what Apple has typically done, is you drop the 8 series down to, you know, just like one model or so. You keep the 7 around, you drop the 6, and, you know, you probably upgrade. Yeah, you probably upgrade the SE to something the equivalent of an iPhone 7, because that's probably the bare minimum you want for developers. Remember,
Apple. I think there'll be an SE, a 2018 model of the SE.
I think so. I mean, because again, Apple needs to focus on two things. One, price sensitivity, you know, consumers, and developers who have to hit a least common denominator. And if 6 is the least common denominator, people are not going to jump up and do, you know, super exciting 8, 9, and 10 applications. So, yeah, I would say the SE gets bumped, the 6 gets dropped. That is, you know, no longer the least common denominator. We'll see something around the 7 as the base with something like an SE. We'll see, you know, the 8 line continue, but with a, you know, limited set of options. I think we'll see an iPhone 9, and you know, my guess would be you keep the two traditional form factors. You add, you know, you keep Touch ID for the people who want it. And then you keep iPhone.
That's an interesting point. Are we losing? I've heard that Apple's experimenting with Face ID on iPad Pros, and we might get it on the next generation MacBooks. So is Apple done with Touch ID and marching forward with all its products, or are we still going to see Touch ID lingering in this year's new iPhones?
Well, we'll see Touch ID lingering in some of the lower-end models. Clearly, we're going to see it in the higher-end models. And if it makes sense, Apple will throw it into, you know, the Mac lineup as long as it makes sense. I would definitely think we're going to see an iPad Pro with, you know, Face ID and all the other fun stuff.
In June, maybe?
March, really? June. April. Again, Apple does things when the products are ready, but I would say that we're going to see a phase out of the current, you know, Pro lineup.
I think there'll be Face ID on a new generation of iPad Pros, but I think they'll leave it off. This rumored iPad 9.7 for education for $200 or something.
Right. You know... One of the things that Apple has done always well, let's go back to the iPod era. You started with iPod, and you know, by the time you were done with the lineup, this thing had fractured into so many different products. Yes. And so many different lines. You could get everything from, you know, an iPod Classic, an iPod Touch, all
iPod
the way down
color,
to
Color, iPod,
right,
iPod
Mini to a Shuffle. I mean, you could
Nano.
Get all, right, yeah, you could get. You can get, and all of these things were iPods. I mean, an iPod is whatever Apple says is an iPod. An iPhone is whatever Apple says is an iPhone. We're seeing the product line fracture as it, frankly, you know, makes sense to. I'm only a little surprised that it took, 10 years to do so. The iPhone 10 is the reference model for devices going forward. I mean, you know, it changes. iOS 11 is designed for iPhone 10, period. And it works, and it works well, and we'll continue to see new iterations of it. Whether we'll see an iPhone 10 Plus, an iPhone 11, there's all sorts of fun stuff that Apple marketing goes through to name products.
One of the things on my wish list, which we may not get to, is an iPhone 11 Plus with a 6.5-inch screen. That would eliminate the need for the iPad Mini. The iPad Mini could die a graceful death.
And, is the iPad Mini still a product? Is that Dr.
Mini? I had a friend walk into a store the other day with me and buy an iPad Mini because he needed it. He wanted it.
Yeah, it's been a strange product. It was, you know, Apple continually said, we don't need smaller iPads. We don't need smaller iPads. I think this was a reaction to the market. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was.
Reaction to the Kindles.
Exactly. To the Kindles and, you know, all of the 7-inch Android devices that people wanted something small. And it turns out not so many people, like the people who want something small, want something cheap, disposable. They're using it for Netflix. They're using it for email. They're not going to pay the iPad premium. So I don't think the Mini lives much longer. If it does, it gets, you know, slightly tweaked in terms of processor, but there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of demand for it. And, you know, frankly, Apple is focusing on, you know, a lower cost iPad and, of course, the Pro line, which in, you know, the word Apple, lexicon is a question of what's a computer. On one hand, we've heard that the computer is the iPad Pro. On the other hand, we're still seeing Mac sales. So I think Apple is trying to figure out exactly what it is they're selling, who they're selling it to, and for what reason. Certainly iOS 11, aside from being designed for, I think, you know, iPhone 10, the super upgrade was for iPad users. iPad users got a whole new set of functionality, had to learn a whole new set of functionality. I still can't figure out.
New display presentation, new gestures.
Yeah. Gestures, things. It was needed, but to this day, I still have to go back to the YouTube videos to figure out what I want to do. It's just changed that much, but I think in a good way. So,
Okay, so let's move on to the iMac. I think I'm seeing a great affection for the space gray color of the iMac Pro. And I also suspect that Apple will leverage off of that by turning its silver iMacs into a space gray option in 2018, just to carry on the coattails from the iMac Pro, which people love but can't afford. And so if they had an iMac on their desktop, a 2018 iMac with a 2018 Intel processor, and it was space gray, they'd be happy. It wouldn't be, you know, super powerful for the pros, but it would be, you know, really fast and cool machine. And space gray.
Yeah. Well, remember when the original MacBook called MacBook came out and you could get it in white or black, but there was a $100 premium for the black one, even though there's absolutely no reason for that other than Apple could charge $100 more for the black one.
That.
Yeah. Go back and look at the original, MacBooks, and it came in white and it came in black, and black was $100 more. I think Apple may keep space gray for quite some time for, you know, the pro users. You want space gray? Take out your credit card.
Watch it melt.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you'll get the, without it, the 5K display, you're going to get a pretty good processor. You're going to get everything else. But you want space gray and you want the pro. Yeah, that's going to cost you. So, no, I'm not thinking we're going to see space gray for the mass market. Space gray is going to be for those who can afford it.
Okay. Do you think we'll see an Apple Watch 4 with EKG, more sophisticated heart monitoring than we have now? The FDA has approved it.
Yeah. Clearly, Apple has defined Apple Watch for more than, you know, reminders or phone calls, but as a health device. So, wouldn't surprise me. I think there's already a third party that does an EKG band for Apple Watch. You have to subscribe to something for them. They also have another one that you can use with your phone that just, you know, connects via, I think, Bluetooth. So, there's already stuff out there. So Apple's going to say, why can't we play in the market? The question is, how many people really want an EKG monitor on their wrist? I know, hey, I'm old. I would like one. But it's not a mainstream type product. And then you have to figure out how much extra is it going to cost. You're going to have to integrate it into the band somehow. I think we'll see something like that. I think we're going to see continuous health and medical devices coming from Apple. At one point, I thought there were more MDs at Apple than, you know, PhDs.
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard rumors about a standalone display from Apple to go with their headless Mac Pro and maybe a new Mac Mini. Have you heard the same rumors?
I've heard them on and off, but it feels like Apple's gotten out of the display business. They're willing to leave that to the third parties. And
kind of a
bad
experience with the LGs.
Yeah, I mean, so you find another partner. But the bottom line is glass is expensive and monitors are expensive. There's no money to be made in those things. It's one of the reasons I think Apple's never gotten into the television business is because there's just no money in it. You're better to do an Apple TV and connect it to, your big screen TV. You're probably going to be better off connecting your Mac or your Mac Mini to some other third-party display with, cool 5K curved inches.
Yeah, Hewlett-Packard has a Z30. What is it, the Z38?
I think it's the Z38. I think you are correct.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So, if you're Apple, why stay in that business? It's the same reason that they've gotten out of things like the router business. It's served a purpose for its time, doesn't serve much of a purpose now, and there's hardly any money to be made in it. Just send people someplace else for their external displays. Although, of course, it's Apple, so you never know. But it would have to be something. If we were to see something like that, it would have to be something that offered some set of features that you couldn't get from just a standard third-party monitor. And it's hard to figure out what those features might be because, let's face it, monitors are monitors, 4K displays, 5K displays.
Well, if they want to have Face ID, married with a Mac Pro and a Mac Mini, it would be nice to have their own Face ID built into their own monitor. You wouldn't have that if you bought a third party.
It would, but then you're getting into the issues of things like the keyboard and, you know, the touch bar and all the other stuff. It might be the case where, you know, you're looking at that high-end Mac Pro market who says, yeah, Touch ID is not for us. We just want three, you know, 50-inch curved monitors. That would be far better for us. And, you know, keep Face ID and, you know, keep Touch ID. They're two separate markets. In the mainstream consumer, yeah, I have no doubt why we wouldn't see it in an iMac, why we wouldn't see it in a MacBook. It's there. The technology's there. Apple knows how to do this. It's a differentiating product. It works better than, you know, some of the, you know, Android devices, some of the Microsoft devices. So, yeah, but in the pro market, I can see Apple just basically saying, yeah, we don't need to play in that particular space. We're just going to, you know, do our modular Mac Pro and go with that. And if you want something in between, we have the iMac Pro. And, yeah, there you can get your Face ID and all your other fun stuff.
Could very well be. That's a very cogent argument. So we only have a few minutes left. Let's move on to what our fantasies are, what we would like to see. I have a short list, but I'll let you go first. Do you have any fantasy? You know, just let the go wild, you know, in your wildest dreams. What would you like to see Apple do?
Let's go back to the 1980s. I still want Knowledge Navigator.
me too.
kids, if you don't know what we're talking about, look it up on YouTube. It was the best concept video ever done. Yeah, I mean, that's what I want. I want Knowledge Navigator, although I wanted to do a little more today. But yeah, I want that type of device that can do those things that were outlined in the concept that we just, yeah, we still haven't gotten there yet.
You know, Knowledge Navigator was outward focused, research, internet, data information, incoming calls. But I want a Knowledge Navigator that's so smart it can interrogate my system, look at the internal structure of macOS, watch the sandboxing, watch incoming packets, and have a conversation with me, say, hey, John, I just noticed in your Safari data stream in HTTP some very suspicious packets. I'm going to shut them down. You may see some interruption in your visual effect while I diagnose this. Hang on, John.
Yeah, and the truth is we have a lot of Knowledge Navigator functionality, the ability to look up things and collaborate, but not in quite the same way as that video was. And, you know, we're going back to the 1980s, but yeah, no, give me a Knowledge Navigator with, you know, the video display with
the guy in the bow tie, you know, right. Still works.
Exactly. Yeah. Give me Jeeves back, not, you know, Siri. I would be like, yeah, really, really happy for that. By the way, I'd like that guy's office too, cause it was really cool. So yeah, I want a, Knowledge Navigator. I want a next generation device that isn't iOS, that isn't macOS, something that takes us to the next generation. The same way that, you know, iPhone 10, you know, leapfrogged ahead, does do a whole lot of different things than, you know, your traditional iPhone does. I would like to see a new product from Apple that incorporates the best features of iOS and macOS into some new product with, you know, their artificial intelligence that can do all those things. And yeah, and by the way, that whole, like, you know, book open close design, I really like, and it'll be interesting to see if we see one from Apple or Microsoft first, but I think we're going to see one sometime in 2018 from someone.
I have a fantasy that one of these days we'll be working at our desk with a 24-inch iPad that we can pick up and move around the room, and also connect a mouse and run our macOS apps on it too, and connect it to a sister display. Anyway, that'd be cool. One of the fantasies I have for 2018 is Apple will come out with a Time Machine 2 using APFS and snapshots, and get rid of the old Time Machine stuff, and we'll reformat all our drives to APFS, and we'll do a new Time Machine archive with snapshots. That's my fantasy. I think they'll do it, but I don't know
for
sure.
It sounds good, but man, I think you're thinking a little bit low. Did you ever see
blow my mind with something a step up?
Okay, so check out, there's a Sun video called Starfire that was done by Bruce Tognazzini about the next generation of computing and the idea you could just carry your stuff with you, whether it was, you know, in a public place or on a laptop or in a, you know, home environment, with lots of interesting things like gestures and swiping, things that we've actually seen in iPhone. But yeah, if you said, what do I really want? Yeah. Look at this Starfire video. And I'm saying, yeah, give me that. That is what I want. All check right, it out.
Cool. Well, we're out of time. Boy, did we blow through that fast. But I think we've given the listeners a pretty good idea about some thoughts about what we may be seeing from Apple coming in 2018 with some degree of probability. So I want to thank you for sharing with me. Great show.
Thanks. My pleasure. And I'm almost certain we're going to be entirely wrong.
Well, I'm probably wrong. Tell the listeners how to contact you if they wish.
Sure. You can reach me on Twitter at Gartenberg or email me at m@michaelgartenberg.com. And keep those cards and letters coming, folks.
Excellent. Thank you, my friend. Thank you for joining me. You've been listening to a very special edition of the Mac Observer's Background Mode with former Apple executive Michael Gartenberg. We'll see you next week. Thanks.